Mishnah says in Yoma, and that Pehei Yom Deis, Aveiro Shebein Odom L'Mokom Yom HaKippurim L'Chaper. Aveiro Shebein Odom L'Chaveiro In Yom HaKippurim L'Chaper Ad Shirates Chaveiro. Sins between man and God, that's what Yom Kippur takes care of. But sins between man and man, Yom Kippur will not atone for those sins until you appease your friend. Dorash Rebelozim and Azariah. The Rebelozim and Azariah learned this from the Pasuk. Mikol chatoseichem mipnei Hashem titaru. From all your sins before God, you'll be cleansed. Aveiros shebein odom l'makom Yom HaKippur mechaper. Aveiros that are just between you and God, Yom Kippur atones for. Aveiros shebein odom l'chaveiro ein Yom HaKippur mechaper ad shiratzes chaveiro. But Aveiros between man and man, Yom Kippur does not take care of till you appease your friend. Now there are two ways of learning this Mishnah. One is that even for sins between man and man, you need Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur won't help until you appease your friend. So first you have to appease your friend, and then Yom Kippur will take care of those sins too. Or no, Yom Kippur only has to do with sins between man and God. Yom Kippur has nothing to do with sins between man and man. And Ad Shiratza means that the atonement for those sins will not happen until you appease your friend, and then that's taken care of. You don't need Yom Kippur for sins between man and man, only between sins between man and God. That's one question, right? How to learn this Mishnah. Is Yom Kippur significant to sins between man and man after you appease your friend? Or it's irrelevant to those sins, and those sins are totally taken care of by appeasing your friend. Second shaila, and that is this a special halacha in Yom Kippur? Or is it across the board? Any time that you get atonement from God, if it's a sin between man and man, first you have to appease your friend. The Rambam in Pigbeis from Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Tes says, Ein ha-tshuva, v'lo yom ha-kippurim mechaprim, ela aveiro shebein odom l'makom. Aval aveiro shebein odom l'chaveiro, eino nimcholo la'olam, ad shiten l'chaveiro mashu chayiv lo v'yiratzehu. The Rambam says, it's not just for Yom Kippur. Any time that you want to get atonement, even tshuva, regular tshuva will not help from sins between man and man unless you first appease your friend. Then you can do tshuva, and then God will forgive you. But until you appease your friend, tshuva doesn't help either. And the Rambam in Pirusha Mishnayis there says this same thing applies to Sira Mishtaleach on Yom Kippur. Not just the Yom Kippur itself, but even the sacrifices of Yom Kippur will not help for sins between man and man until you get atonement and appease your friend. The Minchas Chinuch says that even death won't atone for sins between man and man unless you appease your friend before you die. No kapara can take effect on sins between man and man until you square yourself away with the other person. But that is the Rambam and the Rosh. And it seems like that in the Piskei HaRosh and the Mordechai, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold, this is a special din in Yom Kippur. Regular tshuva will help, even on sins between man and man, even if you don't appease your friend. But the kapara of Yom Kippur is special, and that Yom Kippur will not help for sins between man and man until you appease your friend, or even won't help at all. All you have to do is appease your friend. And this is what the Ramah, the Seif in Shulchan Aruch, is mitzvah l'ratzo says chaveiro b'erev Yom Kippurim. Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to make up with your friend, because Yom Kippur won't help for sins that you didn't make up with your friend if you're the sins between man and man. And the Ramah says the minig is to do it erev Yom Kippur. It seems that he added the fact that this is not a din in regular tshuva. The whole year, you don't really have to appease your friend to get to do tshuva between man and God on man and man sins. But on Yom Kippur, to get the kapar of Yom Kippur, you must first appease your friend. In any case, this whole shaila whether it only applies to Yom Kippur or it applies across the board, and if Yom Kippur is significant to sins between man and man, depends on another shaila. That's a very essential shaila of how to look at sins between man and man. One way of looking at it is, there are no sins between man and man. You can't sin against a human being. You're sinning against God. God said, don't steal. God said, don't embarrass your friend. God said, don't cheat him. Okay? So my sin is with God, except the means that I used to transgress that sin is through a human being. And therefore, in order to correct the sin, I'm going to have to correct it with the human being before I can go to God and ask him forgiveness for what I did against him. Meaning, I stole. Okay, so the sin is stealing and going against God who said don't steal. Not going against my fellow man, because I have no mitzvahs to my fellow man. But the way that I sinned to God was by taking something from somebody else, not with permission. So now, if I want to take away that sin between man and God, I have to correct the sin. How do I do that? By paying back the guy that I stole from. Then I correct the sin. Now I can go back to God and say, okay, I corrected the sin, forgive me. But everything really, the sin is between man and God. The way that you committed the sin involves another person, and therefore, to correct the sin, you have to appease the other person. But ultimately, the tshuva is between you and God, not between you and another person. Okay. Or no. God said, I don't want you to steal. And I give human beings rights that they have in this world, that their things aren't stolen. And if you steal from another human being, you're sinning against him. There's two sins here. There's a sin between man and God that you're not allowed to steal. And God revealed to us that he doesn't want you to hurt somebody else. And if you steal from the other person, you've sinned against him too. So there's two distinct sins. Sin between man and God in stealing, sin between man and man. The two separate sins. According to the first way, there's only one sin. The sin is between you and God. The method of how you got a sin to God is by involving a person. Nafkamina between the two ways is, when you have to appease your friend, is that merely correcting the sin? You're now correcting the sin. But that's not tshuva. The tshuva you do with God. Or no. You need to do two tshuvas now. You sinned against God, you have to do tshuva to him. You sinned against your fellow man, you have to do tshuva to him. So the process of appeasing your friend is really a tshuva to the other person. What's the difference? We'll see a few differences in a second. In any case, could be that if this idea is that the whole thing is really a sin between man and God, the only thing is, before God's going to forgive you for that sin, you have to correct it. So take care of correcting it with the person, the method of how you got to the sin, and then God will forgive you. Okay? If that's the case, then it could be that it only applies to Yom Kippur. On a regular case, God says like this, even if you don't correct the sin 100% with the other guy, I'll forgive you. Okay? For regular tshuva. Even if you didn't correct the sin completely, you didn't give back the stolen article, I'll forgive you. But the kapara of Yom Kippur is a special kapara. It's like a special present. The present you're not going to get unless you correct the sin completely. So by Yom Kippur, you have to correct the sin completely before God will forgive you. By regular tshuva, it could be you don't have to correct it completely. God will forgive you partially, and if you correct it, you'll get more forgiveness or whatever, but it doesn't completely hold back the forgiveness. But if the idea is that it's two separate sins, you sinned to God and you sinned to man, you have to do tshuva to God and tshuva to man, then it makes sense that it's the same, what's it called, same process. That the sin between you and man, God has nothing to do with. There you have to get forgiveness from your fellow man. You have to do tshuva to him. And it won't help with anything. Tshuva won't help, and death won't help. Nothing will help, because those sins are between you and the person. And if you don't do that, you didn't do anything. It's not that you did tshuva between you and God and you didn't correct the sin. You didn't do tshuva, because there's a tshuva to the other human being. You didn't do that. So therefore, that's across the board. Another difference will be following. The let's see another difference here. There's a Birke Yosef who brings down Rav Shmuel Garmizon, who says a very frightening thing, which everybody pretty much argues on, Baruch Hashem. He says the following. He says that which it says in the Mishnah, that you will not get atonement, right, until you appease your friend, doesn't mean only that you won't get atonement for what you did against your friend. It means until you appease your friend for something you did against him, you won't get atonement for any of your sins on Yom Kippur, even the ones between man and God. It's like either a package deal, either all or nothing. And if you can't get atonement for a specific sin because you need your friend's forgiveness, then you won't get atonement for anything. Now, they argue on that and say it's not true. Right? You can get partial atonement on Yom Kippur, and that's pretty much how we hold. There is, though, an opinion that says somewhere in between. That's the problem. If I didn't appease my friend, but I said to God, look, I said, I don't want to deal with it. Okay? I don't want to return what I stole. But I want you to forgive me for stealing. Okay? I finished with it. I'm not going to do it again. Right? I regret it. I'm not going to fix it up with him, but I want you to forgive me, God. Will God forgive me for his part, or do I have to first take care of the friend's part? So it depends. If it's two separate sins, then there's a svara to say that God will take care of his part and your friend has to take care of his part. Two separate things, and one doesn't affect the other one. But if it's one sin, really the sin is to God, except in order to correct the sin, I have to fix it up with my friend, but until I correct the sin, God's not going to forgive me, then obviously if I don't fix it up with my friend, God's not going to forgive me. So then it makes sense to say at least that it's possible if I didn't square myself away with my friend, God's not going to forgive me either, because it's all one sin. It's a sin against God, except I sinned against God by stealing. So if I don't correct the stealing, I can't go back to God and say, I'm sorry, because the sin is still there. But if it's two separate sins, then it makes sense to say, look, each one's separate. If I do tshuva to my friend, I'll get tshuva from him. If I do tshuva to God, I'll get tshuva from him, and one doesn't affect the other one at all. That's a possible difference between these two things. Another difference is the following. According to that, then, Yom Kippur has nothing to do with sins between man and man. Yom Kippur only atones for sins between man and God. And the sins between man and man, there's different criteria. That is, you have to appease your friend. And therefore, there's another nafkamina. When do you have to appease your friend? If it's all one sin between man and God, and eventually you're going to have Yom Kippur help you atone for that sin between man and God. The only thing is, until you fix up the sin, God's not going to forgive you. And the Mele Yom Kippur is not going to help. So you better fix it up with your friend before Yom Kippur, because by the time Yom Kippur comes, if the Aver is not fixed up, God's not going to forgive you, and Yom Kippur is not going to help. So therefore, it makes sense. You have to go Erev Yom Kippur and make up with your friend. And that's what the Svarim say, that the Shari Tshuva says, until you go Erev Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur's not going to help. Until you square away with your friend, your Tshuva's not going to help, so you better do that first. First, you make up with your friend, then you go to God and do Tshuva. But if the opposite is the case, that Yom Kippur has nothing to do with the sin between man and man, it's a separate sin. And the sin between man and God is a separate thing. Then it would make sense to say, first do your tshuva to God. God comes first. Then you do your tshuva to a human being. And there is an opinion like that. Seder Ayom. Very interesting Seder Ayom. Our minig, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is that tomorrow, you can start early also if you want, we go and try to make up with people that we have to make up with. It's a special mitzvah Erev Yom Kippur, like we said. The Seder Ayom says no. That's not what you do. You go through Yom Kippur and you do tshuva for your sins between man and God. And that includes even the part between man and God that was also man and man. You stole something. You sin between man and God by stealing. You also sin between man and man by stealing. The same thing, two sins. The part between you and God, take care of on Yom Kippur. the part between you and man, take care of Motzei Yom Kippur. They have the minute to go and make up with people the night after Yom Kippur. Well, what sense does that make? So now Yom Kippur can't help anymore retroactively. No, you don't need Yom Kippur. For those sins between man and man, Yom Kippur has no relevance. There, the only thing that's relevant is your friend forgiving you. So therefore, first take care of your sins to God, give him precedence, then take care of your sins between you and man. After Yom Kippur, you take care of that. Then you're finished. Then you make a complete overhaul. First take care of what you have with God, then take care of what you have with people. But if you learn it's all one sin, it's all taken care of with God. And Yom Kippur's going to have to take care of this sin too. It's just I have to correct the sin, so correct it before you go and do tshuva. You have to correct it first. Another difference. Another difference in all of this will be the following. The following. Like we said, it makes a very big difference of how you have to ask forgiveness from your friend. Are you correcting the sin between you and God by appeasing your friend? Or are you doing tshuva on a sin between man and man? Nafkamina is how you have to do it. Do you have to go to your friend and make him feel good? You know, it's like payment. Okay? I stole something from you. I punched you out. I have to pay you for the damages. But I also caused you pain, mental anguish, physical pain. Physical pain, there's a scale how to pay for it. But how about the mental anguish? That I have to have appeasement. I go to you and make nice to you and make you feel good. And that is like payment for the pain and discomfort that I caused you. So I'm paying you. So I don't have to come and do tshuva to you. I don't have to say, look, I sinned against you. I regret it. I'll never do it again. I confess my sin to you. It's nothing to do with tshuva. It's correcting the sin. It's payment. So you pay him. How do you pay him? By making him feel good. I don't have to tell you I sinned against you. I regret it. I have to tell you, look, I'm sorry. Forgive me because I didn't mean to hurt you. And if I can make you feel better, right, I tickle you a little bit under the chin, right, make you feel good, maybe that'll help too. It's basically payment. Just like I have to pay you for the physical things that I did, I have to pay you for the mental things I did too, for the emotional things. And that's how the Meiri learns and others that it's mamash a gather of payment. Okay? But if it is a separate sin between man and man, and I have to do tshuva to you, that's a different story. Then I have to come and say, I sinned, just like I do to God. I sinned this specific sin, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And I have to say it to my friend. And the Bach says like that. The Bach says when you go to appease your friend, you have to confess the sin to him. I sinned against you with such and such a sin. I cheated you. I lied to you. I hurt your feelings, whatever it may be. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. You have to do tshuva to the friend, just like you do tshuva to God. It's not paying him for what you caused him damage. It's doing tshuva. You did a sin against a man, a human being. You have to do tshuva to a human being. So here we have a machlokas. What do? Do you just appease the person, make him feel good as payment for the anguish that you caused him? And that corrects the sin that you did between you and God. But you're correcting the sin by making up what you did in that sin of making a person feel bad. But the sin was to God. God said, I don't want you to make people feel bad. Or no, there's two sins. God is Megala. There's a sin against me. There's a sin against a human being. You have to do tshuva to me, do tshuva to him. Another difference. What happens if I, let's say I embarrass somebody, okay? So you're not allowed to embarrass people, it's murdering them, and I have to now do tshuva. So what happens if the guy forgives me, and I never went to him and said anything? He forgave me. He said, I'm mochel you. Yeah, forget it. Don't bother with it. I forgive you. Do I still have to go to him or not? Well, let's see what the difference is. Let's say I stole from somebody, and he says, you know what, don't pay me back, I'm mochel, keep the money. Do I have to go and pay him anyway? No. Do I have to do anything? No. I pay it. he accepted it as if I paid him, and it's as if I paid. If the idea of mechila from a separate human being is payment for the sin of the anguish, then if he says I'm mochel you, I paid him, just like I paid him the money. I paid him the he doesn't care. He says I'm mochel the you don't have to make me feel good. I forgot about it. So it's like you paid me. But if the idea is I have to do tshuva to that person, and until I do tshuva to that person, I haven't done my tshuva, because I did tshuva to God, but I have to do tshuva to the human being too, then his mechila is not going to help. I have to go to him and still say, I sinned against you, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. The fact that you're mochel me, right, doesn't absolve me from my mitzvah of tshuva. Right? So therefore, what's it called? I have to do it. And that is a machlokas. The Meiri says that if the guy's mochel you, you don't have to do anything. Right? You're lucked out, right? He forgot about it, he forgave you, and it's good enough. And however, Reb Yitzchak Blaser, Big Bal Musar, Talmud Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, says no. You must go to him and do tshuva to him, even if he forgave you, because you have to go through the tshuva process with this person, just like you have to go through the tshuva process with God. And even if he forgave you, that doesn't take away your mitzvah of doing tshuva. You have to still go to him and say, I sinned against you, I'm sorry, forgive me. Another difference. Can you send a shliach to Es Mechila? Okay? I don't want to go myself. I send a letter. Or do I have to go in person? So it depends. If it's payment, I could send the payment by mail, you know, express mail too. I can do it in PayPal or whatever, right, if I want to. Right? If the idea is pay him back for the mental anguish that I caused him, then I don't have to do it personally. As long as he feels that he's been appeased, he's gotten his payment, fine. Well, I don't have to give it to him personally. Just like when I steal from somebody, I don't have to return the money personally. Send him in the mail. I can tell somebody else to go pay him. But if the idea is tshuva, I can't say, look, you know, I got better things to do on Yom Kippur, right? So I'm going to stay in bed all day. And please do me a favor, say vidui for me, tell God that I'm sorry or whatever, not going to wash. You can't do tshuva through a shliach. You have to do it. You can't send somebody else. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. Right? You have to say you're sorry. You can't say somebody has to go tell you you're sorry, God. Or clap al chet for me. Here's the sins. I'll give you the sins, right? You knock your chest. Your chest, not my chest. I have to knock my chest. So if it's tshuva, it won't help with a shliach. It won't help with a letter. I have to do it myself. But if it's payment, if it's correcting the sin, I can correct the sin through a shliach too. See, another difference. Another difference would be the following. What happens if as a machlokas, your rabbi holds that you could do it with a shliach, and others hold you can't do it with a shliach. That it has to be, you have to do it yourself. What happens, another case, you didn't hurt the guy at all. You sinned against him, but you didn't hurt him. Famous case, famous machlokas of Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Case like this. I speak Lashon Hara about you to him. Okay? He's a tzaddik, so he doesn't believe a word I said. It doesn't go past him, and he never believed it at all. You never found out about it, so you weren't hurt. You didn't have any mental anguish that I spoke badly about you. Okay? You didn't know about it. He didn't accept it. I did an Aveira. To who? So, I did an Aveira to God. But did the Aveira involve you at all? No. You just were the object of the Aveira. But it didn't hurt you. No damage came to you because the person I spoke to didn't believe me. So the Chafetz Chaim says, therefore, you only have to do tshuva to God. This is not a sin between man and man. Because you didn't affect the person. But that's only if the tshuva is a payment. The appeasement is a payment. I don't owe you anything. I didn't do anything to you. I don't owe you anything, and I do tshuva to God for the fact that I spoke Lashon Hara. But if it's two separate sins, right, then it makes sense to say that any time I sin against a human being, even if I didn't hurt him, but it's that kind of sin that a human being is involved, then I did two sins. I sinned against him, and I sinned against God. I have to do tshuva to God, I have to do tshuva to him too, even though it didn't affect him. I don't owe him anything.
But I sinned against him. I have to do tshuva with him too. As there's also machlokas. If you didn't affect the person at all, the Chofetz Chaim holds, all you have to do is square yourself away with God. That's not something that you have to involve the person at all. And Rav Shlomo Salanter says, no, you have to go to the person also, because it's a separate sin. The sin against man. It's not that you're paying him back. You don't have to pay him anything. But you sinned against him by speaking Lashon Hara about him. So therefore you have to go and do tshuva with him. Another difference would be, a lumdisha difference, we have a din of kimle b'derabnine. Familiar with the halacha? Now if somebody, shoots a guy on Shabbos. So he's chayiv for chilul Shabbos, because he killed the guy. And he also tore his shirt. Okay? Or that didn't kill him. He burned down his field on Shabbos. So he's chayiv for chilul Shabbos, for burning down the field. And he also owes the guy money. Kimle b'derabnine. Now, halacha is, he doesn't have to pay for the field. Since in the same action, he did something that's liable to a death penalty and monetary, you don't get two punishments, the death penalty takes precedence and you don't pay. What happens if I did something to you, I hit you, and I did it on Shabbos, I was Machal Shabbos at the same time. So now, if tshuva to the other person is payment, just like I don't have to pay you for your shirt, I don't have to pay you for your tzar either. So I don't have anything to do with you. I just make the tshuva to God. But if the idea is that I did two sins and I have to do tshuva, the sin is there. It's just that I don't owe you anything because the death penalty supersedes it. But I sinned against you, so I have to do tshuva to you. So if it's a case where there's kimle b'derabamine on the payment, right, then it works for the payment of anguish too. If the idea is doing tshuva to the other person, then you still have to do tshuva. Another difference would be, kibud av ein. There's an interesting shaila in the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch has the following shaila. Kibud av ein, or kibud rabo, are those bein adam lechaveiro or bein adam lemakom? Meaning the following. I understand that if I embarrass you, I cheat you, I steal from you, I'm doing something against you, okay? But if I don't stand up for my mother and father or my Rebbe, I'm not doing anything against them. No, nobody's hurt by not standing up for them, right? If I didn't stand up for you, I didn't hurt you, right? But if you're my father and I don't stand up for you, the Torah said God wants me to stand up for you. So it's the idea now, standing up for a father, and you don't stand for him, you've hurt the father. Or no, you don't hurt the father at all. Just like not standing up for a regular person doesn't hurt him. But God wants you to stand up and honor your father. So that could be a sin completely between you and God. You didn't do anything to your father. You didn't stand up for him. There's no reason to stand up for a human being, right? Just happens to be your father, and God said he wants you to stand up for father. So it could be a completely sin between man and God. Or maybe not. Since the Torah said, by parents, you have to have that extra respect. If I don't have the respect, I'm sinning against my parents. The difference would be, how do you look at these sins altogether? If sins between man and man is I hurt the other person, right? He is the way that I... One second. There's two sins. I sinned against him because I hurt him. And I sinned against God because I didn't listen to what God said. Then it makes sense to say, like the Minchas Chinuch, this is not a sin between man and man. I didn't hurt you. I didn't stand up for my father. I hurt him. I just didn't do what God wanted me to do for him. But it's not a hurt for him. So then it shouldn't be between man and man. It should be between man and God. But if the idea of a sin between man and man is not really between man and man, it's just that it's a sin between man and God, that the object of the sin, the way I commit the sin is through a human being. Then kibud av ein also, the way I commit that sin is through a human being. So it has the din of a bein adam lechaveiro, not bein adam lemakom. Should depend on this shaila too. Another thing that we have to discuss, and then pretty much we'll complete this. If you have any questions, I'll take them. And that's the following. I understand there's a halacha like this. If I spoke Lashon Hara about somebody, and he died, I didn't have a chance to go appease him when he was alive. What do I do? So the halacha is I'm supposed to go to his kever with 10 people and say, according to the Rambam, I sinned against so-and-so who's buried here and God. I sinned against God and the guy who's buried here. And I asked him forgiveness and I hope he'll forgive me. Now, if the idea is you have to do tshuva to another human being, so I understand that he could even do tshuva to a dead person. His neshama is there. And he hears what you're saying, and you have to do tshuva to him. Right? You have to repent your sin that you did against him to him. So even though he's dead, go to his grave and repent. But if the idea is to pay him for the pain that he felt, how do you pay somebody for pain after he's dead? Right? L'chora, you can't make him feel good after he's dead by going to his kever and taking away the pain. It doesn't. The whole idea doesn't apply. So it has to be that it's a different idea. The idea of asking forgiveness after death, if you hold that it's payment for the sin, it's not repentance. It's fixing up the sin. How do you fix up the sin? Either the idea is, we find a similar halacha like this. I stole money from somebody, and he died, and I don't know who his heirs are. I have no idea who his children are or whatever. I don't know how to find them. It's completely, there's nothing to do. So halacha is, I put the money in Beis Din, and I just say, look, I've done everything I can do, and I've tried to correct this sin as much as I can. I can't do more than this because I don't know who to give the money to. So I give it to Beis Din, and I say, if you ever find out, you give it to him. Same thing over here. I say it like this. I would love to try to make up to this person and pay him for his anguish. I can't. He's dead. So at least I will make the attempt of going through the motions, so I did everything I can do. He's not going to benefit from it. But at least I did everything I can do. That's one possibility. Or there's another possibility. The reason I have to do that is because there's something called Tshuva Samishko. Tshuva Samishko means if I sin and I cause somebody else pain, then I should cause myself pain to balance it out. So by going and humbling myself at the person's grave, I'm at least compensating and balancing out the pain that I caused him by causing myself pain. So, but it can't be that I'm soothing the guy after he's dead. I mean, after he's dead, he's not to soothe him anymore. But the idea is to do tshuva to the entity called that person. That entity still exists, except in a neshama form. I have to do the tshuva to that entity. It's interesting, there's an argument between Reb Sadia Gaon and the Rambam. What you have to say when you go to the grave. The Rambam says you have to say, I sinned against God and that person. Seemingly, the way we explain the Rambam, there's two sins. There's a sin against God, and there's a sin against the human being. And I have to mention both of them. Reb Sadia Gaon says, all you have to say is, I sinned to so-and-so. You don't have to mention God. Why? Because in every sin, it's always against God. The question is only how you did it. So when you say, you confess your sin for eating treif, what do you say? I sinned against God and ate treif. No, I sinned because I ate treif. Obviously, it's against God because he told me not to eat treif. All I have to do is mention the method, the way that I sinned. I don't have to mention who I did it against. That's obvious I did it against God. So over here also, the sin is against God, except what was the sin that I embarrassed so-and-so? And God told me not to embarrass people. So I mentioned the sin. What is the sin? Embarrassing so-and-so. Who did I sin against? God. It's not to mention God. But if the idea is there's two sins here, I sinned against God by embarrassing so-and-so because he told me not to do it. And I sinned against so-and-so because God said he has a right not to be embarrassed. Then I have to mention the two things. I sinned against God and I sinned against him. But if the sin is only between you and God, then all you have to mention is how you did that sin between you and God. I sinned by embarrassing so-and-so. And my sin was to God, right? But the means of transgressing that sin was by embarrassing him. Just like the means that I committed the sin is by eating treif. I have to go into the details now that by eating treif I sinned against God, of course. What did I do? I ate treif. What did I do? I embarrassed this person. But if the idea is I have to atone for a sin between man and man, addition to man and God, then I have to say I sinned to God and I sinned to man. Any questions on this? This is more of a combination between a halacha shir, pilpul shir, and a musar shir for Yom Kippur. Yeah.
When you were talking earlier about a person with steel and an example that you have to compensate.
Right.
So what if the compensation is something you can't compensate? What if you worked in a company and you stole lots of money and you don't have it? Like, how do you go to your...
So It depends. I mean, if it's a, it's a real shaila, so it depends. If it's a goy, it's a yid, how you stole the money or whatever. It could be that you have to makabel on yourself somehow to get that money back over a period of time or whatever, or to at least ask them to forgive you and to release you of any damages you owe them or whatever. It's it depends. Again, if you stole from a Jewish company, then pretty much you have to, and you stole in such a way that you're required to pay back, then even if you don't have the money right now, eventually you'll have to, you have a responsibility to pay it. And if you accept upon yourself that when you'll have the money, you'll pay it back, then you can still, can be considered like you squared yourself away.
What if you can't find the person?
So then it says that if it's something that the person could benefit from, if you gave the money to public works, like roads and things like that, so eventually you'll benefit from that money, then you do that. If not, like we said, you give the money to a Beis Din, and you say, look, I sinned against somebody, I don't know who it was, I don't know, I've given you the money, right, hold on to it, and I've done everything I can, and if it ever gets back to him, fine, that. But it really depends on the specific case, exactly what was done, how you have to correct that sin. Yeah.
Does the person have to verbalize apology, or can he email the?
So we said, if it's the idea of tshuva, then you have to do it personally, and you have to verbalize it. If it's just an idea of appeasing the other person as payment, then any way that the person will be appeased is fine. But if it's tshuva, you can't do. You can't email God before Yom Kippur and say, "Look, I admit I did this thing wrong. I won't do it again. I regret it. Forgive me." It won't help, right? You have to say it to God directly.
So in the case of it sinning against the person, if he forgot about the situation entirely, if you embarrassed him, he forgot about it, in that case, is it necessary?
According to the Chafetz Chaim, if he basically forgot about it and he forgave you, so he's appeased himself. But according to Rabbi Yisrael Salant, according to Rabbi Yisrael Blaser, you still didn't do tshuva to that person. So there it becomes very delicate. What happens if going to the person and saying, look, remember I embarrassed you, and I'm sorry, I won't do it, and it's going to make him feel worse now, because now he's going to remember it, and he say, yeah, I remember, and it, what's it called, now it's going to make more problems. Then maybe you should be makel and not bring it up and rely on the Chafetz Chaim. In a case where you know that it'll make more shalom by going to the person and acknowledging and doing tshuva to him, then maybe you should do that and be Makayim, even according to the Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser.